Let us pray. Holy Spirit, vivifying fire and gentle breath, come and abide in us. Renew in us the passion for unity so that we may live in awareness of the bond that unites us in you. May all who have put on Christ at their baptism unite and bear witness together to the hope that sustains them. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
The prayer that I just read is one of the prayers appointed for us to use during what is called the octave of prayer for Christian unity, of which we are in the middle of. Every year, the World Council of Churches has this observance, the theme of which this year is Jesus' words, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And it is an octave of prayer that starts with the feast on January 18th of the confession of Peter. Peter recognizing the first one who Jesus is. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And it bookends with January 25th, which is the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul. Peter and Paul. Now, I think when we look at their lives, we sort of get a hint into how the readings today and how the small group series that we are doing sort of all folds together, because we remember Peter. Peter's the one who got it right at first. He knew who Jesus was, and then he continues to mess up all along the way after that. And then, of course, the opposite is Paul, who we all know, boy, was he screwing up in the first half of his life, but then, boy, does he turn it around, huh? And so I think the overall message here is none of us gets it all right all the time, but that doesn't mean God gives up on us and God doesn't still call us. Now, I have to talk to you about something very important today, and that was, there was a murder here Friday night. Now, before you all run for the exits, it was a murder mystery. And about 100 of you were there. Written by our daughter, Demery, and performed by the talented actors and actresses of St. Joseph's. It was about a fishing contest. How appropriate for the gospel we just heard. And one of the suspects in the murder, Sylvania Pufferfish, otherwise known as Dee, claimed that her prize fish entry into the contest just jumped into her boat because of her incredible magnetism. Pretty fishy. But at least our contestants were fishing. And I think that is sort of a tagline of importance as we look at the gospel story we just heard, as we look at the story of Jonah, and as we look at Augustine's life as we continue to have it unfold before us in the small group. At least he was fishing. Augustine was looking for answers, but as that song goes, looking for love in all the wrong places. Remember that one? So we looked last week with that theme of lost, and Augustine was lost. He was looking for answers, and he was living a life of trying to find it all in his sexual exploits. Then he started to look for it in some kind of success and the way people would look at him by his academic endeavors. But then we move on to this theme this week of the needs that we have. And sometimes, oftentimes, it takes us a long time to figure out what those true needs are for us in our life. That which is going to give us total fulfillment, or in other terms, the way in which we are going to discover our purpose in life. And so Augustine is fishing. He's looking, And he comes upon this particular religion that was popular in the day called Manichaeism. And in Manichaeism, there ends up being this hierarchy of people. And so now, I'm going to rise in the ranks of the Manichaeists, and that's the way I'm going to get my fulfillment, fulfill my needs. But he finds, as he investigates it, that's not the answer either. The Manichaeists had a real problem because they end up dividing the world into good and bad, light and dark. And everything spiritual is looked on as good, and everything material is looked upon as being bad. And because of that, the Manichaeists can't accept the fact that Jesus would have been born with a human mother. They say that it can't be that way. And so they end up denying Jesus as both God and man. And Augustine goes along this process, and he ends up meeting the major proponent of his day in that particular religion. His name was Faustus. And he decides, nope, that ain't it either. And he wends his way, and as we know how the story is going to end, he finds his way to see Jesus as God's son, and the rest becomes history. To give us a preview of the next 3 weeks we're going to have with our small groups. Now, perhaps we'd want to say, well, maybe Mark's gospel is a little Manichaeist, because we don't have a nativity story here, do we? Mark skips the whole thing. Jesus just shows up and is baptized, and now he starts choosing disciples. Mark's gospel is incredible for that reason. It's not that he denies who Jesus was. It's just the opposite. Mark is getting to the immediacy, and that's the word he uses, about the utter importance of us getting on board now. We heard in that reading from Corinthians, the time is now. And that Greek word for time is kairos. The fulfillment of time is now. The opportunities for us is now. And so Paul is wanting to get the Corinthians to get their act together and start loving each other, because you're missing all this good stuff you could be having. And so with Mark, there is this immediacy. We're in Mark's year now, huh? We're going to hear from Mark a lot. And we're going to hear that word immediately over and over again. Because Mark is like so excited about telling the story about Jesus, he can't get the words out fast enough. And immediately. And so he wants us to understand the same thing that Paul's getting at, of this immediacy of the opportunity that Jesus offers to us. And he doesn't wait until we're perfect to do that. He knows that there's a mixture of good and bad in the world and in us. And yet he calls us. And so we've got these four fishermen. Maybe they were happy, maybe not totally fulfilled, but there was something that in the charisma of this Jesus that they knew that they were called to something more. And so they dropped their nets and off they go. Wow. Now, alternatively, well, we can look at Paul. And by the way, when Paul says, if you're husbands, just live as if you don't have a wife. And the wives are saying, well, what else is new? Or perhaps the husband is saying, ha ha, I'm off the hook. Well, that's not what he's getting at here. In this context, he's talking about get on board with this immediacy of what God is offering to us. And so all these other things are important, but not as important as this. Is what God is offering to us as we respond to God's call. Now we have that first reading, and you talk about an opposition here, Jonah. Oh my gosh, Jonah. God is trying to tell him, go to Nineveh. You got to convert these people, tell them. And what does Jonah do? As we are told in the book, it takes 3 days. It must be a huge city to walk through. And what does he say? 40 days, God's going to destroy you. That's it? That's all he says? And what happens? They all convert. Do you think that had to blow the socks off of Jonah? This guy who was this disgruntled person, and that's all he says, and God's mission is fulfilled. The overall point here is this. There is good, there is bad. God gives us this opportunity that God doesn't want us to miss. And so when God calls Paul, when God calls Andrew and Peter and James and John and all the others, it's because God wants us not to miss the opportunity of being on board and experiencing and sharing all those blessings that God wants us to have. In a nutshell, that's it. If you find in your life you're fishing, but you haven't caught the big one yet, hang in there. Because we have a God who wants nothing but for us to find that ultimate meaning and fulfillment in our lives. Whether we're young or old, whether we have doubts or fears, God's going to be there for us. Cardinal Cushing, who was a Roman Catholic cardinal, wrote a prayer, and I would like to end with sort of a rephrasing of it as a prayer in this regard. God of mission, help us sleeping folks to wake up. Help us lukewarm folks to fire up. Help us disgruntled folks to sweeten up. Help us discouraged folks to cheer up. Help us depressed folks to look up. Help us estranged folks to make up. Help us gossiping folks to shut up. Help our dry bones to shake up. Help us true soldiers to stand up. Help us church members to pray up. And if the Savior of all will be lifted up, then we can celebrate with you the greatest renewal this world has ever known. Amen.